The reading comes today from Matthew 1, 18 through 24. Now, before this is a long genealogy, which we have read once in church, but this year I'm giving you a bit of a break. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, and before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace and planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to make Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Maggie, wait.
Sermon time, Erwin.
No. We've heard that story so many times. Did you guys really understand? That's just Matthew. I don't want to hear that again. It doesn't make any sense. I think we should do it a different way so that we got a lot of these college students here. They probably didn't understand a word you said. Let's try it in a different way. I'll be Joseph and you be the angel.
Yes, sir.
And let's see if we can do this so that we actually understand it. Y'all okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Joseph and I have had enough. This would try the patience of a saint, and I do not think I am a saint. I'm just a man of principle, just an ordinary businessman, a joiner, and a general household repairs. That's me, trying to do my best, dealing with the gifts God's giving me. Behold, a handyman for the Lord.
I'd hire one of those at the church.
Folk appreciate good workmanship. On the whole, they respect me, a solid member of the community. I've never set out to be clever, but I just want to do what's right. And now this of all things, what will people say? Mary, my betrothed, my intended, she's going to have a baby, and it's not mine. It can't be mine. What will people say? Nazareth is a small town. Everybody knows everyone else's business. This just is not going to be good for business and trade. I'll be a laughingstock. I guess I'll just have to call the wedding off, but I'll do it quietly. I just have to do the right thing.
Joseph.
Who are you?
I am an angel of the Lord.
An angel? I must be dreaming.
You are.
Well, then I must be getting back to work.
Joseph, will you listen? You are as thick as two pieces of wood.
It's likely that's my line of work.
Okay.
Well, what do you want?
Are you a descendant of David?
Yes. You see, David begat Solomon, and Solomon Rehoboam, and he begat Abijah, and who begat Isa, and that begat
okay,
Jehoshaphat.
Thank you. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife.
But
really, for it is the Holy Spirit that has caused her to conceive.
Well, I never.
I know this is a first-time thing. It's called an immaculate conception. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him
Jehoshaphat.
You shall name him Jesus.
Jesus? What kind of name is that?
Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
What? Save all in our family? All the people of Nazareth? All God's people? All the people in San Francisco? One little baby?
Yes. And so it will come true that the Lord has said through the prophet, a virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel.
But you just called him Jesus.
Okay.
I can't understand this. I'm good with my hands, not with words. Just Emmanuel worker me.
It's a special name, Emmanuel. It means God is with us.
What? With the workers? With the people of Nazareth? God is with ordinary folk like me? With the people in San Francisco? God with us? That's good enough for me. Mary! Mary! We're going to have a baby!
Okay. For the word of God in Scripture. Well, there we go. Told you about my friend who was planning her Advent pageant and there weren't enough kids. Last night, she got 3 wise men and 2 angels to agree to come, but there is still no Joseph. Now, she had talked to a second grader, and the second grader said to her in all sincerity, I am too old to do this, and I won't dress up in a costume anymore. She said, okay. So she talked to one of her middle school boys and said, will you be Joseph? And he said, yes. And then he texts back and said, no. And she asked around, and somehow the boy thought she was trying to fix him up with Mary. Really? No. And then she asked Mary's grandfather, who is Jewish, and thought that would be great. He said no. Then she asked her seminary intern, and he said, I did not go to seminary to wear costumes, and he said no. I don't know what's going to happen for her on Christmas Eve. She might have to do what happened to Will Willimon one time. He was in church, the Christmas pageant was ready, a volunteer was directing it, and 5 minutes before the Christmas pageant, there are shrieks in the hallway. There's no Joseph! There's no Joseph! And he said, what? And then another kid said he threw up over everyone, and he was sent home. Bad there. That poor mother volunteer said, I don't care, get a shepherd, put him in there, no one can tell. He doesn't talk anyway. And Will Willimon said, no one seemed to notice that Joseph was missing from the story. It did really well, it worked out fine. But then he said when he was reading this scripture, he realized that probably he was wrong. They still needed Joseph in the story. And somehow Joseph does get overlooked. I tried to find a Joseph hymn. What do we get? Mary engaged to Joseph. I couldn't find a poem about him, so I put that picture on the front. Somehow the story of Joseph has not connected with the imaginations and the prose and the music part of who we are. But it's such a contradiction because the birth story told in the Gospel of Matthew really starts with Joseph. We get this long genealogy of Joseph's family that connects Jesus to the line of Abraham and David. And then it moves into narrative, how the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. And it begins with Joseph. It is kind of odd that it begins with Joseph's family line and not Mary's. But for Matthew, God's miraculous action of causing that pregnancy in Mary also causes this miraculous connection to Joseph's family. See, that Holy Spirit, that holy breath that started creating in Genesis, creates a way for Joseph to adopt this child Jesus and make him his own. He becomes a part of Joseph's family and he becomes a part of all of our families. He comes to save all the people, Joseph's people, Mary's people. He comes to save us, God with us. So I've been pondering Joseph this week. You know, how do you tell Joseph in a crush? Because he's the one not holding a gift, or a shepherd's crook, I have decided. And I took out my Joseph, and I thought about what it was like to have an occupation for him as a carpenter. And that seems to be kind of an odd choice. We learn about it in chapter 13 when talking about Jesus. They say, isn't that Jesus, the carpenter's son? And I'm thinking, couldn't have God found a more interesting or at least a more reliable adopted parent for him? Maybe a priest. Wouldn't that make sense? So he could learn the scripture and get to be a life of the temple? Or maybe a merchant, so there'd be enough money when they had a flea or they had some need in the country, he'd have enough. Or maybe just a shepherd, because if the birth was going to happen in a stable, wouldn't it be good to have someone who had been around those things? But no, God chooses Joseph, and he chooses a carpenter. A carpenter is an ordinary, solitary job. You help where it's needed. You have money from job to job to job, and you listen and you try to build in wood and other things what people see or vision in their minds. I asked a friend of mine, Larry, who's an architect married to a Presbyterian pastor, what he thought about Joseph being a carpenter. And he told me that one of his professors said, an architect's job is to look at every possible solution before anything can be built and work it out ahead of time on paper. A carpenter, by contrast, takes tools and materials and know-how and develops plans along the way, because a carpenter often runs into unforeseen circumstances. And has to figure a way out and through it. And I think that maybe that's why God chose a carpenter. A carpenter knew about life when it gets a little messy, when it doesn't go as planned. He knows how to make adjustments. He knows how to think ahead. He knows how to be ready for whatever comes. And maybe it made sense to have a carpenter who could have a livelihood just in his hands, and anywhere they went, he could find work. Because Joseph had probably been trained by his father to be a carpenter. And his life had gone as it's supposed to be. Now, you know in that day that a marriage was different than ours. You first had an engagement. That means you kind of put an offer to the girl's family. And if they said yes, you had a long-term kind of betrothal time. And in that year, it was almost legally like you were married. Your families got together. They made all the arrangements. And when you were married, that's when the husband and wife would live together. But during that year-long time, it was basically settled. There wasn't, I'm going to check you out and see if I like you. It was, you are getting married, and we have a year to make all the plans. And so Joseph probably knew Mary growing up. They were in a small community. Maybe their families had been together, and they must have been compatible enough because they're in this time to be married. They're waiting. And what we hear in the story is he comes to realize that Mary's pregnant. Now, I don't suspect they had a conversation about it. Maybe her face changed in shape. Maybe it was showing a little bit underneath her robes, but he could tell she was pregnant. And that happens sometimes when couples in that year-long period, and you sped it up a little bit. But this was different, because Joseph knew that the child was not his, and that meant that Mary was an adulterer. And he knew the law. He was a righteous man, which meant that Joseph knew the law and knew there were two ways to handle that. One was a stoning, and the other one was a divorce. And Joseph decided to do probably in some ways a more compassionate and the more quiet way. He said, I'll just divorce her quietly. I won't make a big deal about it. I'm not going to make the law slam down on her to make me feel better. I'm just going to divorce her quietly and go on with my life. We know that he was a righteous man, but this story also told us he was a man who knew the law of love, because he chose a way that would try to do the least harm to Mary. And so he goes to sleep. And I imagine he didn't sleep too well, because he knew the solution he picked, the best one, still meant that Mary would probably be shamed in some way. She may be an outcast from the community. It may lead her in a life of poverty. But he knew he couldn't do anything else. He must have been saddened and a bit bewildered. But he went out of his way to not hurt her. And so he goes to sleep. And that's when the angel of the Lord appears to him. Joseph, son of David, remember who you come from. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't worry about the gossip. The child is the Holy Spirit, and you will name him Jesus. Emmanuel, go, God is with us. He must have heard the words of the angel and heard the echo of the prophet Isaiah, that this child would be the one who would come to bring peace. This is the child that would bring in a new age when the lion would lie down with the lamb. Do not be afraid. Well, really? That's frightening enough coming from an angel. But then he hears the Holy Spirit, the creative power of God, is the Father. And the child will be called God with us. Now, that must have been enough to take in just in itself. And here's the amazing thing to me, that Joseph woke up the next morning and laid his compassionate plans aside and just did what the angel told him to do. He married Mary and named the child Jesus. Did you notice that Joseph did not say a word during that dream? Talk about the strong, silent type. I mean, Mary said, how can this be? And she pondered things in her heart. And then she sings that amazing piece that we heard last week where her soul magnifies the Lord, but not Joseph. He gets up and he marries her as planned. He follows God's plans quietly and faithfully and open to God's direction. And it was not like he expected. It didn't get calm after that. I mean, really, they have to leave the town and go to Bethlehem. And you know the story. There is no room for them. The child is born in a stable. And after that, they have to flee to Egypt. And who wants to talk also about all those shepherds and those three wise men who come? Really, this was not the life he imagined. But Joseph moves into God's future faithfully. Will Willimon said that Jesus is the model of discipleship and that he shouldn't be out of the picture or out of the story or out of the creche, because Joseph is a model of one who just gets caught up in the drama of the incarnation, God dwelling in us, and lives there. Willimon said, there are those that serve God by saying courageous things in sermon, and those who serve God by doing courageous things and deeds in their everyday life. But today we are reminded there are those of us who simply stand with God, that we stand with God silently and faithfully and courageously. There are disciples like you and I that hear a dream, either spoken or maybe we hear it in our sleep, and our best laid plans for life are changed. We find life is not going to go how we planned it. And yet somehow we walk with God in that path. I've noticed some of you You stand at the sides of the church, and you work faithfully and ploddingly and lovingly to get the work done because you trust it's part of God's plan. And maybe we have such a hard time imagining or picturing Joseph or even remembering that he's part of the story because he's the most like us. He's really rather ordinary. Mary's gentleness and wisdom, they seem to glow from her. And those shepherds, I mean, they get a dramatic entrance. They capture one's imagination. But Joseph, he quietly follows. He cares for his family. He does the work he has to do, and he loves and raises his son as his own and follows where God will lead. I wonder if you might recognize yourself a bit in Joseph. Will you make your plans for life, and then God throws you something different? Will you be willing to listen? Will you be a part of God's dream for the world? Will you be a part of a world where we long for justice and racial peace and no more killings of children in places like Afghanistan? Will you work for that, for God's dream? Will you try to follow God even if you get a bit stumbly and lost along the way? Well, maybe on this fourth Sunday of Advent, Joseph will be a bit more prominent in our lives. David Losey reminded me that God comes through ordinary, mixed-up people in order to save ordinary and mixed-up people, and that God comes through a birth like all the millions of other births in the world, and a promise to remind us that we have freedom from sin and fear and death and rebirth as the children of God. It's an odd story. It's a crazy story. It's a hopeful story. May you, this fourth Sunday of Advent, a whisper before Christmas, remember that you are God's beloved children, and there are still miracles and joy and hope within this chaotic world. May you be a light this season. May you follow the light of Christ today. Amen.